1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 20, if you just follow along with me as I read. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I ask that you'd be with us once again. Lord, please help me as I preach. Lord, please give me your strength and your power. Lord, please take what is said this morning. Help to be an encouragement and a challenge to those that hear it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, "Just Doing My Job." Just doing my job. And last Wednesday was Veterans Day. And last Sunday somebody said, "Were you going to mention the veterans?" And we didn't really have anything set up last week. And I thought, well, it's Wednesday. If I can preach a Veterans Veterans Day kind of themed sermon this morning. And since it was Wednesday, it could have fell either way. So, man, our veterans, our church veterans, they've been taking it on the chin the last few months. I think of Brother John, and Brother Gary was down, and then we have Andy that's in the nursing home, yeah, and others that are, you know, maybe had. Brother Brad, he was down with the COVID too, and I was thinking, man, a lot of our veterans, they're battling it, you know, they're still battling it, you know, health problems, and glad to see some of them are back today, but I was thinking of that idea, and you know, I've spoke many times about the parallels of a soldier being a soldier. And then being a Christian soldier, and the different things that you know, the similarities there. You know, many times if you you know, see a man or woman in uniform, and you tell them thank you for your service, you know, they'll say my pleasure, or you know, oh, I'm doing my job, or maybe a first responder, things like that. You know, but a lot of times they're you know, that, well, you know, hey, I'm just doing my job. That's a kind of fairly common response. But we as Christians, you know, we have a job to do also. You know, every soldier has a job to do. You know, no matter what branch they're in, there is a job for them to do. You know, whether it's the man on the front line. Or maybe they work in support, you know, getting the supplies to the men that are fighting, or the command, you know, the command center, or whatever. They all have jobs to do, whatever the rank is, whatever their position. They have a job, and they all have to do their job, you know, to the best of their ability for that one goal of victory. And the same applies to us as Christian soldiers. There are jobs that we, you know, that we need to do, and we kind of read that through in our passage that we just looked at there in 1 Corinthians. There are different jobs, but we all have to do our job to the best of our ability. And a couple of things we're going to look at this morning, we see first that there is a job for every soldier. There's a job for every soldier. As you know, God has a job for every believer. I know you, maybe you've heard it. I remember hearing it growing up that it says, once you get saved, God has a job for you to do. And the preacher went on to say, you know, if God didn't have a job for you to do, once you got saved, he would have just bonked you on your head and took you to heaven. And I thought, well, you know, it makes you chuckle, but then you think about it, it's like, well, I guess that's true. And the thing is, he has a job for each and every one of us. Once we enlist in God's army, once we're saved, we've trusted him as Savior, he has a job for us to do. We need to be available to his service. You know, when you get saved, you don't write off exactly that job entails. I was never in the service, but what little bit of it I know. You know, you go and you enlist, and you know when you're signing those papers, you don't maybe know exactly what job you're going to have. Yeah, I've heard people say, and I don't know if it's still the case nowadays, but different people have said, you know, if you were qualified for a job, well, then you can just count on that being the job you're not going to have, you know. Once you enlist, you don't really know exactly what your job's going to be. That's the same as is with us as Christians. When we get saved, quite frankly, we're not thinking, you know, I'm going to get saved, so then I'm going to get busy for God. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and I'm going to go down front to find out what he has for me to do. No, we go down, the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart, and we go down and realize our need for salvation, and we get saved. But there is a job for us to do once we get saved. And we need to seek his will. Find out what that job is for us to do. What he has for us to do. And are we willing to find that job? Are we willing to do that job when he shows us? You know, it's been said that, you know, if God knows your heart, and if you're not willing to do what he has for you to do, he's probably not going to show you. Are we willing to do what he has for us to do? I wrote down, it's not important what you have to give it. Instead, it's, will you give what you have? You might say, well, I'll serve him, but I really don't have anything to give him. You know what? That doesn't matter. That's not what's important. What's important, are you willing to give what you have? And there's a job for every soldier in God's army. But not only that, every job's important. As we saw when we were reading verses in our text, verses 15 through 18. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God sent the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Every job is different, but every job is important. We need to treat the job that God has for us with the importance that it deserves. You know, we might think, I don't have a lot to give him. And, I told him that I would serve him, and I sought his will, and here's what he has for me to do. You know what? And it doesn't really seem like much. But you know what? It's important. It might not maybe be what you would consider glamorous, but you know what? It's important. You might not see it as important, but it is. No matter what it is that you do, if you're doing it for the Lord, we need to do it, treat it like it's important, and treat it like give it the effort that it deserves. You know, there is a job that we all have, and that's telling folks about Him. You know what? No matter what other job God has for you to do, it's all of our jobs to tell folks about Him. I've been told, and I've seen different documentaries and things, how that soldiers, they're all issued weapons. You know, maybe the ones on the front line have bigger weapons, but even the ones that work the supply lines, and they're all given weapons. And why is that? Because you know what? If they come up against the enemy, you know what? They have a job to do: fight the enemy. And you know what? We as Christians, we all have a job to do. It's our job to tell folks about Him. We need to make that important. And there's the other jobs that differ. You know, you might have one job. I have another job. It's, you know, not every. I remember preachers would say, you know what? It's not God's will isn't for everyone to be the pastor. You know, if everyone was a preacher, who'd be there to listen? You know, and I thought, good point. You know, and the fact that, but He has a job for each and every one of us to do, and it's an important job. And along with that is that job of salvation, telling folks about Him. We need to tell folks about Him. We need to take that job seriously and realize the importance of that job's life or death. You know, their job, the soldiers, you know what, if they don't do their job, that can be life or death. You know, maybe they're standing guard. And, you know, if they don't do their job, you know, it can be life or death. But if we don't tell folks about Him, you know what that means? Souls spending eternity in hell. Every job's important. But then not only that, we need, once we find that job, find the job He has for us to do, we need to treat it give it the importance it deserves. And we need to focus on our job. You need to, number three, focus on your job. We need to focus on our job. I've shared with you before when Rick and I were kids and maybe we'd be bickering or Rick was irritating me and, you know, I'm sure that's what it was. And I tried to bring it to my mom's attention that my brother was driving me nuts. And she'd always tell my brother and I, she'd say, worry about yourself and you won't have time to worry about anyone else. And that was, she didn't mean worry like fretting and, you know, it's like, quit worrying about watching what he's doing and, you know, make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And it was like, well, all right. That bit of advice made sense. The parts that didn't make sense were when she'd say, quit making that face, it might freeze that way. And that never made sense. Because I'm thinking, well, surely there's somebody around here that should have some goofy face on that I, you know, because it froze like that. I don't know where they got that. But anyhow, indifferent things. You probably heard that too, you know. Quit making that face. What happens if your face freezes like that? Like, I don't know, you know. But the thing is, she said, worry about yourself and you won't have time to worry about anyone else. And you know what? We need to focus on our job. And if we focus on what we're to be doing, we won't have time to be comparing ourselves to what other Christian soldiers are doing. You know, when we start comparing ourselves to other Christians, what their job is, you know, what they're doing, it's gonna breed pride or discouragement. You say, what do you mean? Well, you start looking around and you say, you know, it's not too long before the devil start talking to you and say, you know, look what they're doing. You know, they think they're something else, but you know what? You do a lot more than they do. You know what? You do a way better job at that. You know, they do the same thing over at their church, and you do a way better job of it. You know, who do they think they're? You know, you start thinking, well, man, you know, I'm pretty good. Or it starts breeding discouragement. You know, you start looking around, you know. I know there are times preachers are good at this. They'll say, you know, Sam and I will talk, which we tend to do it once in a while. We're together 7 days a week. And I say, you know, I don't really have a lot of preacher friends. You know, I don't go around, you know, out to lunch and different things like that. Probably one of the preacher friends, as good a friend as any, is Brother Doug Cowan, you know. And he's, what, 1,500 miles away. And we've grown to be friends. And but the thing is, I don't have a bunch of preacher friends that call me in you know, on Monday and say, whether it's they, you know, saying how bad things were or how good things were. And you know what, when they call talk to other preachers and they say how things are going, it's like, you know what, when things are going good for them, I'm excited for them. I truly am. You know, we, all of us, churches, you know, we got enough to discourage us. So when one sees a blessing, maybe somebody sees, a church sees someone get saved or baptized, and what a blessing that is. That's an encouragement. But the thing is, it's easy to start looking around, and you start, you know, if you're not careful, you'll start getting discouraged. It's like, well, you know, we work harder than that church over there. And you know what? We don't see near the results that they do. What's wrong? And then you start getting discouraged. And I'm not saying preachers shouldn't talk to each other or you shouldn't talk to other churches. I'm not saying anything like that. But if we're not careful, we'll start getting discouraged. We need to guard ourselves. Or we'll start thinking, you know, pride will creep in and we'll start thinking we're better than we are if we're not careful. We need to stop concerning ourselves with what other soldiers are doing and be more concerned with where lost souls are going. You know, if we'd all concern ourselves with doing the job that God's given us, and also coupled with being the soul winners that He have us to be, and you say, well, you know what? I go out and I tell folks, and I'll witness, and I'll give out tracts, and it seems like, you know what? With hardly any results. Well, you know what? We're doing the job that we're supposed to do. You know, we can be encouraged by doing what we know is what God has for us to do. Many times I'm reminded of Noah. You know, he was busy and he was preaching and telling folks about the Lord and had a desire to see folks saved, so they would get on the ark with him. But the thing is, he knew he was doing what God had for him to do. And I'm sure he wished there were more on the ark with him than his family. But the thing is, he was doing what God had for him to do. We need to not get prideful. We need to not get discouraged either. We need to just focus on the job that God's given us to do and keep focused and pressing forward as best as we can, doing the job, giving it the importance that it deserves going forward for Him. And not only that, there are some things that all Christian soldiers need. Some things that we all need. First, I have now communication. 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 As Christian soldiers, we all need to be communicating with the Lord. We need to be communicating with headquarters, if you will, if we're going to be successful. You know, maybe you'll hear a war story, and you'll hear that, you know, they lost all communication. You know, that means that they're out there all by themselves. But the thing is, we as Christians, we're doing our jobs as Christian soldiers, the job that God's given to us, and we're going out and we're doing our best to share the gospel. We need to stay in close communication with the Lord. We need to pray how we talk to Him. We need to read His Word, how He speaks to us, and the Holy Spirit uses the God's Word to speak to our hearts. We need to not lose communication. How do we lose that communication? Obviously, one way would be through sin. Letting sin come between us and God. We can lose that communication. I was also thinking that another way that we can lose that communication is not making it important in our lives. Not making it important. You know, we don't see the value in it. We don't see the importance of it. And we go and we'll go day after day without spending time in His Word, without praying, without talking to Him. You know what? There's too much at stake for us to not spend time in His Word and not spend time praying on a daily basis. We need that communication. It's critical if we're going to live the victorious Christian life. So communication, what else we see? We need camaraderie. Camaraderie. Oddly enough, I looked it up in the dictionary just to make sure I spelled it right. So a lot of times, sometimes I'll try spelling it. They'll come across those words and it's like, I think this is right, but it just doesn't quite look right. And I don't know. I'm the only one looking at my notes, so I don't really know why it's important, but I'll look it up to see if it's right. And I look up camaraderie, and right there, the definition was there. It says, good fellowship. And I said, that's exactly what I'm talking about. We need camaraderie. We need good fellowship. We need to come together as a church family. You know, we're out in the world working and living and out in our community. You know, we need to come together and have that fellowship. If we don't encourage each other, who will? If we don't encourage each other to keep pressing forward and stay with it and keep serving Him, who will? If we don't pray for each other, who's going to pray for us? We come together in the camaraderie, that fellowship, and we hear God's Word taught, and we hear God's Word preached, and we get what we need for what's ahead. I don't know about you, how many times have you come to church and maybe you were, you know, things were going well, and you heard a message preached, and sure enough, maybe a week or two later, you came across a situation came into your life that you say, you know what? What I heard a couple weeks ago preached, that's exactly what I need for this situation I'm going through. And you hear me say it many times, we have our church family, and I'm thankful for our church family and the fellowship that we have together and the good spirit that we have. And we truly do have a good spirit here at Dunes Baptist Church. And I'm thankful for that. I'm here to say there's been a few times over the last 31 years where, you know, the spirit wasn't as good as it is right now. And I don't know if I'm, open it up to you. I don't know what you'd call it, but you know, when that spirit isn't real good, when it's strained, it makes coming to church different. It's like one of those things, you know, you can nod, you can just sit there, but I think you all know what I'm talking about. Maybe there's some tension at church and whatever it may be. And when you're going to church and maybe walking up the walk, there's a different feel. You know, you're not thinking, you know what, I'm excited to fellowship with my church family. You're thinking, oh, I hope, you know, we don't get into this or get into that again. And with the church, with the church family now, and the good spirit that we have now, what a blessing that is. I know I keep saying there's plenty going on in 2020 that you know we don't need the extra stress at church. And I keep was it this morning I was thinking, you know, I bring up that all that's going on in 2020 quite a bit, and I thought to myself, I think I'm trying to convince myself that we're going to make it. And I am trying to convince myself. But you know what? There are times when it's gotten me down some. But the thing is, it's not to the point where it's like, oh, I'm so depressed that I'm just going to hang it up. And you know what? No. You might get a little discouraged, but I'm going to keep going. And I know you are too. But we need that camaraderie. That good fellowship. What a blessing that is. We need communication. We need camaraderie. And you know what else we need? We need commitment. We need commitment. Being a Christian soldier's serious business. And we need to treat it as such. You know, everything else we're involved in, you know, we treat it as important. We have hobbies. You have hobbies. I have hobbies. You know, there are those that the hobbies, you know, it costs money. It takes time. It takes effort on our part. It's been said, well, how much, you know, whatever the hobby is, you just mentioned it. Let's say, how much does that hobby cost? And the answer is, as much as you want to put into it. And that's just about any hobby, whatever it is. But you know what? There are hobbies that we as Christians will get into, and it's like, hey, it costs a certain amount. Hey, you know, you don't even bat an eye. And it'll take some time, and we're okay with that. And we've got to put some effort into it. And it's like, well, I'm planning on that. And then there's work. You know, it takes our attention. You know, if we're going to keep that job and succeed at it, and hopefully every 2 weeks keep getting that paycheck, it takes our attention. And it takes the ability that we have too. And we'll say, you know, but it's worth it. It helps me, supply meet the needs of my family, and that's good. We need to work. We need to do our best at our jobs. There's no doubt about it. But whether it's hobbies or our job, you know, we don't even bat an eye at the effort that it takes or the cost that it, you know, whatever it may cost. But the thing is, when it comes to the things of God, we treat it like, well, let me weigh this out and see if I'm gonna. You know, I'm not sure I'm willing to make that commitment yet. But we need to make that, we need to commit to the things that are eternal. We need to commit to the things that are going to last. What does it say? The song says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that's true. And I'm not beating on hobbies. I have them. I know you have them. I'm not beating on work. I think most of us have a job. But the thing is, we need to be committed to the things of God. We'll commit to other things. We need to commit to the things of God. We've enlisted as Christian soldiers. We need to be committed to it. We need to be, you know what? We need just doing my job. God gave me this job. God, you know, God showed me what he had me to do. And he gave me this job. I'm just going to keep pressing forward for him. As they say, until I get other orders, I'm going to keep pressing forward for him. That's how we need to look at it. And we need to not question it. We need to keep pressing forward and giving it all that it deserves. He's done so much for us. Surely serving him, it's worth our while. It's worth our effort. And we need to keep pressing forward for him. And the thing is, we need to make sure that we've first enlisted. There's been a time where you know you've realized you're a sinner. Realized that because you're a sinner, you're on your way to a place called hell. And realize, as the scripture says, that Jesus, he paid that price for us. When he came to earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and 3 days later rose again, and he's alive today. Now the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And once you've done that, once you've asked him to come into your heart and save you, you've enlisted in the army of Christ. And we need to get busy. We need to keep make it important. We need to be about our Father's business.